will come to order.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Korberg,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlick,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Cheaters,
here.
Throne,
here.
Vronish,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
59 present, 1 excused.
Please stand and join in the morning prayer with Reverend Kurt Borgard.
Once again, lift our hearts to God. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that we can come before you and to seek out your Spirit for another day. I pray that you will be here with this body, this legislative body, and with each member. You know each of their hearts, you know what they need, and I pray that they will be open to what it is that only you can supply them. Meet them in their place of need. Meet them in their places of joy and laughter, in their places of deliberation and discussion. Fill this place with your presence. We are so grateful that we live in a place where we can come to you and know that we can all come from our different places, our different places of faith, our different places of understanding, and call upon you as our God. We are grateful to live in a place such as this where we have freedoms to decide who we can be and how we can live with one another in such peaceful ways. Let us understand each other. Let us hear each other as we come together to make laws which truly will make us community, the community that we know so well here in the state of Wyoming. Bless all that we do here. Bless all who are part of this process. May your Spirit be upon them, as they may know your grace, your peace, your understanding, and compassion. We pray your blessings upon them again this day, in the name of our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
I need privilege of the floor whenever you get around to it, sir.
It'll be, we got to do our journal committee reports and
next. Okay.
We're at that order of business, journal committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, the journal committee reports that the journal of February 29th, 2012 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Freeman, Representative Kasparik.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 179. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution 6, Post Office Closures. Ayes 5, noes 21, excused 3. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Friends, it's my pleasure to introduce our doctor of the day, Dr. Amy Trelease Bell from UW Family Practice, which is located in House District 11. She is also the niece of our Deputy Sergeant at Arms and the cousin-in-law of two of our fine LSO staff. So please welcome her.
Representative Ranish.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Okay. You've all got these yellow daffodils on your desk this morning, but some of us unlucky guys have got the blue ones, blue flowers. That means that we're the representative of those men who have prostate cancer. Anyway, up in the gallery here, we have the Wyoming Comprehensive Cancer Control Consortium, and they're the ones that provided all those flowers for this morning. I'd like you all to rise and let's recognize them.
Mr. Speaker.
What?
I see you.
Well, Mr. Speaker, we have a gentleman that showed up here that sat here for many years, and I think we need to allow him in here, if you will, to say a few words to us.
Representative Frank Philp, you're always welcome here in the House.
Mike Sardione.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for such a kind welcome. I can't believe it because, you know, after I stood up there and talked against all your good amendments to the budget all those years, that you got to have short memories.
What's your favorite quote?
My favorite quote? Probably no. I don't know.
Frank, what we've been using is we urge strong resistance.
Oh. Yeah, well, I had at least 101 ways to say no. But, and, you know, I don't know how you put up with it all those years, really. But I sure appreciate that. But I'm sure happy to be here, just to be in this room. You know, it's just so many good memories. And I'm so fortunate to have been able to spend all that time here with all of you. And, and I'm fortunate, you know, just to be standing here, really. And but I'm doing pretty good right now. And it was a matter of finding the right doctor that had the right idea and the right kind of treatment. And actually, he was at University of Colorado Hospital, and he's over here now at the medical center here in Cheyenne. It's an oncologist. It's Dr. Lee is his name. And Boy, you sure did a good job for me. And then, of course, Janet, I don't think she's here right now, but my wife, she went over and beyond taking care of me and keeping me going. I don't think she's here right now. Oh, there she is. I don't have cancer. I have some other kind of a condition that they don't really know exactly for sure what all it is. But this treatment's working, and I go in and I get a injection once a week for this, and it's just been miraculous, really. And I'm sure glad to be here and glad to see everybody. And I always hated it when old legislatures came and gave you advice on what you ought to be doing, you know. But I just got one thing for you, and that's eat lamb and werewolf. Thank you.
On behalf of the House of Representatives, Representative Philip and Janet, just know that you're part of our family. We love you very much. You've always been in our thoughts and prayers, and you'll continue to be in our thoughts and prayers, and we're so happy to have you here. It's great to see you. All right. Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
And the former good chairman of appropriations, those are fitting words for the Day of Hope. It's my pleasure to introduce our page of the day, making his third appearance in the House of Representatives, Dario Escobel Melanson. Stand up. Take a bow. Please. And his mom and grandma and sister, Jackie, Jacqueline, and Ariel are up there in the balcony. Wave. And also like to introduce the light of my life, my wife, her friend Bonnie Kramer, and our pastor, Tom Perea, are up there. I'd also like to recognize my fellow co-chair of the Cancer Control Consortium, Lisa Eads, is up here. And you all are invited to lunch this afternoon. I also have my grade school class from my district here. It's Miss Ketchum and Mr. Hardigan's fifth grade elementary class from Henderson Elementary. And I think I took care of pretty much most of the gallery, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Any other privileges of the floor? I don't know if Representative Korberg knows, but today my southeast cyclones take on the Thermopolis. Is it Bobcats? In the 2A girls basketball state tournament. So it's on.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Korberg.
May I have privilege of the floor?
Okay.
Mr. Speaker, go Bobcats.
With that, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, has, which is making general appropriations for the biennium, been passed by the Appropriation Committee. Pursuant to House Rule Number 2, a number has been reviewed with the following lists corrections and compromises are there. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 12, respectfully report, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Hausman, Pedersen, Wallace, no, Stewart. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 14, respectfully report, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Hausman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 36, respectfully report, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Hausman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 42, engrossed. Respectfully report, same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Hausman, Pedersen, Stewart, no, Wallace. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 97. Respectfully report, same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobel, Hausman, Stewart, Wallace, no, Edmonds, Pedersen. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 52, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. No, Bechtel, Burkhart. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 78, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State Lands, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 19, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zmonitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 55, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zmonitzer, Dan, signed Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 34, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbuda, Kraft, Kay, Green, Harvey, Miller, Peasley, Reeder. No, Gingrey, signed Representative Harvey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 58, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbuda, Kraft, Gay, Green, Harvey, Miller, Peasley, Reeder. No, Gingrey. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Re-referrals.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to re-refer Senate File 57 and Senate File 78 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate Files 57 and 78 to Committee Number 2. Oh, we don't have it. We don't have 57 yet, so we'll just do Senate File 78. It's been moved for re-referral to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to re-refer Senate File 34 and Senate File 58 to your committee number 2, Appropriations.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate Files 34 and 58 to committee number 2, Appropriations. Seeing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business, bills on third reading, budget bill amendments to Senate File 1, and pursuant to Joint Rule 14.1F1. Senate File 1 is placed directly on third reading for the purpose of an explanation of the Senate amendments. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am moved Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And ladies and gentlemen, you should have received a packet of amendments, and I'd like you to find those. And then we're going to have our first upper body aerobics action this morning. Once you find your packet, I want you to turn to page 18. Give me a shout out when you have it. Page 18. All right. Ready? Rip it off. From 18 on, rip off. And then I want you to carefully put it on top of the rest of those amendments. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start talking to you about pages 18 through 30, which are identical amendments. And then when we get to page 1, we'll start discussing what the Senate did differently in non-identical or similar. Okay, is everybody ready to go? All right, well, good morning. So, we're on Senate Amendment 1. And that is a technical correction. If you recall, we had a few of those. It's just a multi with the AML, DEQ, and retirement positions. And the next one had to do with number 4, with making appropriations for the Gillette-Madison pipeline effective immediately. And Senate 6 divides the Department of Health their funding. If you recall that amendment, it's the same. Number 8 is adding more money. It was the same as us with the intervention for hearing aids. 14 was eliminating the footnote on vaccinations for uninsured children. 15 deleted some language of quality of life in the Department of Health on mental health and substance abuse. 17 just continues the trial for back and spine treatment. 30 is the carryover on the brucellosis testing contingent fund. And then in Agency 6, Senate 3, third reading 1 is creating an educational liaison with the Wyoming Accountability Act for Education. And then 10 is adding funding back in for aid. So we're both the same on that, $400,000. 16 is the School of Energy Resources. It's making that its own budget line item and from the block grant, so we can keep track of the funding for that school. And 22 was the removal of the baseball-softball study. Ours certainly was a much more exciting way of doing it. And Senate Amendment Reading, Third Reading 26, just added language with non-reversions for local governments for the biennium of 2013-14. All right, so that'll take us then now back to page 1. And what we're dealing with there is a non-identical, and that was an amendment to direct the department not to transfer any funds from the commission side to replace general fund reductions. And just for your familiarity, that's the Department of Transportation. Senate 2011 adds in $250,000 to our primary care. Our language is just slightly different. And that's the same for the following Amendment 16 with the children, adult, and ABI waiver waiting list. 19 is a non-identical, and then that is adding a footnote to review lands held by the Department of Family Services, Department of Health, and Corrections to determine if they are being best managed. So we've had that discussion about the state assets and looking at assessments and efficiency there. The next one is a similar, it's a Senate file, it's the 2022, and it's the footnote that deletes authorization of $1 million for boat ramps. Now, what they did there differently is they took the $1 million off for boat ramps, but they left the money in the business ready communities account, and we took it completely out. Then on Senate file amendment 28, this is with the University of Wyoming, and what it does is it redirects the appropriation for Corbett Gym and Swimming Pool Facility to renovations and improvement of the School of Engineering. We had one similar to that. Another one that we do not have, it increased the minimum distribution to towns that were receiving $5,000 in local government funding. That was their base. In the Senate, they increased that to $10,000 for those communities that started at a base of five. So it comes out of the same amount of money that we've allocated for local government. It just boosts up small communities. Okay, on another, let's see, similar, couple of similar ones now that we have is 34, adds the $510,000 or $255,000 per year of the biennium for charter school leases, and we're pretty close on that language. They went through that a couple of different times to get to our point, basically. And then another one that's a non is a number two, and it's in military, and it's deleting the $350,000 for the greenhouse startup costs, because if you remember, plus the $2.355 million for the construction, because that bill did not pass on the Senate side. And the next one is the Amendment 3006, or 36, and it adds language directing the placement of the Gillette Madison appropriation to the established account that we have on the back of our goldenrod. The next one is 7, and it adds a footnote extending the reversion date of funds appropriated through July of 2013. And I just need to look at that really quick. I didn't want to misspeak, but it's the Healthy Frontiers pilot project that we're doing, and their belief over there is that that will continue the analysis and give them better results. It's not asking for new money, just giving them one more year to finish the pilot project. The next one is 12, and it reduces the amount in the footnote of $411 of the general fund to $205,000 for the father factor. And we do not have that one. The next one, 13, it adds the same thing that we did. It's
It's similar. It's the moratorium on residential treatment center beds. And 17, we do not have this one. It had added, we discussed it, but it adds $200,000 for anti-bullying programs in the schools. The next one, 20, this is where they start to move around with the University of Wyoming on capital construction. And what they did is they removed the $2 million in general fund for the performing arts building, and then they directed the university to submit a plan for renovation, and then they moved the $2 million to the engineering and technical building. The next one is very similar to ours. It's 3021, and it just adds a reversion date of funding for the pine beetle mitigation. And then on the one I think that's important for you all to look at, too, is the 3025 and 26. What it deals with is the local government distribution, and they have a different formula over there. It is the one where they propose 75% to direct distribution and 25% to consensus capital construction. The next one, 27, is the again an amendment we do not have on the House side, and that is a directing the Department of Education to ensure the first floor of the Hathaway building is occupied as soon as possible and it's effective immediately. The next one is 28, and it just adds new language about matching funding for the engineering building. 30 is the funding that they reworked. It's kind of it's different from what we did, but we have all of these components in our House side, and that's the distribution of 13.4 for the performing arts, and then 1.8 million to finish the funding for the Watt building at Sheridan College with the University of Wyoming, and then the 1 million for the wildlife trust for pine bark beetle remediation. So we have similar concepts, just not the same amendment. The next one is 31, and it's the project count, and so it's just taking all of that money out of there and putting it in the above amendment. And then 33 is language that we do not have, and it's requiring again the school foundation in their operating budget that they are requiring the department to only spend funds appropriated for testing and assessment for that purpose, and provides reversion language, and it adds an audit requirement and directs the governor to authorize expenditures of funds. And then the last one is 34, and it changes statutory references regarding the charter school lease payment, and ours is very similar. And with that, I would stand for questions or call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment 1.
Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to make a confession to the body in my zealousness to get rid of boat ramps. Under the business council, I inadvertently also got rid of $1 million out of the business council. So I know that has been the other member of the JAC has kind of beat me up on that. So I'll take my lumps, and we got rid of the boat ramps, but I didn't mean to get rid of $1 million. The other question I have, however, is why are we directing Department of Education to with the Hathaway building? Can you explain that? Because you pulled that amendment over here, and I'd just like to know why we're directing that to occur.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have limited knowledge at this point on that. I will get more when we're in conference committee, but my basic understanding is just that there's not full utilization of that floor, and they're not able to lease out some portion of it to another entity. So that is the direction. But I can certainly report back to you with more information after conference.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, Madam Chair, I guess procedurally I've got a question that from page 18 on, they're identical amendments, but the first 17 pages are not. Why would we have a standing committee amendment with those differences in there? Are you doing this just, well, we're going to have that discussion and you're going to have a committee to carry that. So I think the body needs to understand that on the standing committee amendment, what you're doing.
In partial explanation to that, especially Chairman Childers, and I was here when we used to do the straw poll votes on the Senate amendments, and we kind of went away from that practice. So basically all we're doing right now is using this to be able to explain what had occurred on the Senate side, what the differences are, and then after we go through our questions with regard to all of these amendments, I will refer this to conference committee, and then subsequent to that I'll name my conferees and we'll iron out the differences.
And Mr. Speaker, if I may, I would just suggest to any member in the body that once you've carefully looked at the Senate amendments, if you have a real concern, then just bring that to me so that I'm aware of that and if there's anything that I need to address when working with the Senate on these amendments. You'll note that most of it's pretty similar, so we're hoping that things will go well.
So everybody's clear, we're going to vote on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 1, and it's simply for digest purposes. We're not voting to adopt anything the Senate did, so I just want to be clear on that. We're just going to adopt the amendment and then go to conference committee. So all those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. There being no further amendments to Senate File 1 under the budget bill procedures as specified in the Joint Rules 14-1, Senate File Number 1 is referred directly to a conference committee of 5 members from each House to meet to resolve the differences between the Houses with respect to both budget bills, House Bill 1 and Senate File 1. And for those of you just wondering while we're on the topic, we'll probably try and resolve the differences with House Bill 121 with the AML funds because it kind of dictates a lot of what we might want to do on the budget side of things. So we'll name the budget conference committee probably today, if not tomorrow. And there's a good chance we won't have a conference on the budget, perhaps even until Monday. I just tell you that just so you know what's going on, and in case you wonder, we're going to work on that. They're on third reading on the AML bill on the other side. So that's kind of where we are. We are now at that order of business, bills on second reading. And the first bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to taxation regarding ethanol tax credit.
Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 8. We had a lot of discussion yesterday, and it has certainly elicited, looks like, 4 amendments on this particular piece of legislation. I would like to tell you that in your inbox this morning was a photocopy of something that I discussed only briefly yesterday on the floor. It's entitled Congress Ends Ethanol Subsidies But Mandates Remain. I urge you to scan that. It's not a very long article. But it does talk about, it does say the mandates remain for ethanol, but they also got rid of the subsidies. And I wonder if the federal government has ended subsidies for ethanol, then why are we continuing? And there was a lot of comment yesterday about, well, there's tax credits here and all kinds of things. We're talking about one thing. We're talking about the ethanol. When several years ago, and since I've been in almost 14 years, I remember that there were a whole bunch of ethanol plants proposed for the state of Wyoming, and I think there's only one. And I wonder why we are continuing to subsidize this plant over the number of years that we have been doing so. And they did go ahead and expand. I've taken a look at the statutes when, and I was here when we did those. There are statutes that say, yeah, we're going to help them out. We did. But somewhere, sometime, we're going to have to say, whoa. And I know that my good friends here in the body are going to say, well, but you urged tax exemptions for this project or that project or another project. You're absolutely correct. But there's also a point in time where those tax exemptions need to stop. And we need to take that time, we need to think about it, and I'm sure that my good friend in the Revenue Committee will take a look sometime at tax exemptions. We did, we have, and some of those do need to probably go away. But we need to take time to think about, isn't it time? This plant has probably been paid for several times over. And now, and I remember, it seems to me that when we put these exemptions in, fuel, gas was under $2. Well, it's certainly not under $2 now. It's close to $4. These people ought to be making plenty of money, and as long as it's mandated that you're going to have ethanol mixed with fuel, with gasoline, they ought to be in great shape. So I think it's time that we put our foot down and said, whoa. The amendment that I'm trying to delete says, well, we're going to lower that from 40 cents to 18 cents. Well, that's a start. It should have been lowered to zero. Because it's still going to cost us a bunch of money by the time we get to 2021. That's about $30 million. Or maybe it's only 15. Maybe it's 15 based on dropping it to 18 cents. That's still a lot of money. That can be used somewhere else. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to belabor the point. I urge the adoption of Standing Committee this amendment number one. It is time that we started to take a very good look at subsidies and credits and all kinds of things.
Chairman Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and opposed to the amendment, we did have a good discussion about this very issue yesterday. I certainly right now just did not hear any compelling reason to change the stand that we made yesterday. I think what's most significant about the article that was handed out to us all was that the
the subsidy was allowed to expire. They didn't cut the subsidy off before it was over with. They didn't bring forward a piece of legislation and say, oh, King's X, by the way, this doesn't count anymore. What they did was they just chose not to continue the subsidy when the expiration date came. So I think that's a big difference from what we're doing here on the floor by reducing the amount and putting a date for certain that we're all aware of now in the amendment. That was a big concern of mine, is there was no date that just said this ends on this date, and we have that date now. So I encourage the body to vote against this amendment. The standing committee amendment was a good amendment. It was a good compromise. And when that date comes and goes, this body needs to let the subsidy expire just like we did back in Washington, D.C. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Member Teeters. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just, rising on and against the amendment, I'd like to correct a little bit of misinformation. I don't know if it's misinformation or just a lack of understanding, but this subsidy is not like we are writing these folks a check out of the general fund. This subsidy is, they are taxes that we are not collecting. So it's not like, you know, we have $15 million left in the general fund and we're writing them a check for two every year. The other thing that's interesting to note is that while gasoline might have been $2 a gallon when we passed this subsidy, corn was also $4 a bushel, and now we have $7 corn and $3 gas. So, I mean, everything needs to be kept in balance as we approach this.
Chairman Sinlich.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also rise in opposition to this amendment. We had a lot of discussion yesterday, and I don't want to repeat too much of that, other than to say that from my personal perspective, I don't benefit any from this ethanol credit, and in fact, as a livestock person, it probably is a corn prices increased as a result of the ethanol plant. It might raise, you know, the cost of feeding my livestock, but it's not an issue about personalities or person. It's an issue about principle. So I just hearken back to you to say that once we make this commitment, I think we need to stick to it. I think, as the good chairman of transportation has reiterated to you, is that we have made a compromise. We've decreased the amount by 50%, and I think that's an acknowledgement of the changes that are occurring in our state with respect to declining revenues. It maintains a commitment and yet carefully lowers it, so that I think it's an appropriate compromise. The other point I want to make, in addition to the principle of a promise made is a promise kept, really has to do about picking and choosing the kind of incentives that we want. We have a variety of incentives. I think you could find documentation to say that we exempt $500 million in property tax for different purposes, and some of them are certainly for very good reasons. We also exempt sales tax for manufacturing, and in fact, in the community in which we live here, we have provided a sales tax exemption for incentive for a refinery to expand its capabilities. And what does that refinery do now? It is able to further process a Wyoming-produced product to add value to it. So that incentive seems to be fine. It sounds a little bit like what we're trying to do with maintaining the incentive that we have for the ethanol plant. So I just caution us to be careful about how we choose certain incentives and say they're good, and then discount others because we don't favor them. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to piggyback a little bit on this. My main point is going to be on our I'm opposed to the amendment, the new amendment. I like the legislation the way it was before better. I still think it's a compromise. We've indicated to the company we'll support them for 15 years, and then we kind of back out of that plan. And I realize there's discussion. I read it, it says 15 years. I would base my business plan on that myself, and I kind of think the banks might too. If we don't keep our promises, the integrity of the legislature is compromised. That's just all there is to it. And when you lose your handshake, you might as well, you just, it doesn't make sense to cut this small amount of money to me. But I've supported a lot of bills that incentivize business to come to Wyoming. We did a large center that was would have received a subsidy. They didn't come. I was disappointed. I thought it would have brought jobs. This year we had a bill that gave changes the severance tax on coal as it comes out of mines, and I favored that one because it made sense. It evened the playing field for the coal companies, and we're in the process of working on a new Trona technology. That little company, where are they going to get financing if the state of Wyoming agrees to help them out with their severance tax cut back on it? It'll be a lesser amount because it's going to cost more to get the Trona out. I wouldn't lend them money. State of Wyoming might be the only one that would lend them money, but anyway, I think our handshake is pretty important. I think we need to maintain it. So on and against this amendment.
Chairman Childress, first time.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment. You know, the article that was passed out, it said Congress ends the subsidies. The Wyoming legislature marches to a different drum than Congress does. And let me just briefly tell you a little bit about this promises made, promises kept. Several years ago, there was an issue where some stockbrokers decided they would get involved in the seed storage business. And the result of that was, between the legislature, the governor, and the state treasurer, in a very short period of time, we arranged some very low interest loans for the seed growers because they were looking at the seed storage people going bankrupt because these stockbrokers didn't really know what they were doing. They went bankrupt, and the seed growers were committed to sell their seed. In fact, they'd sold their seed to these folks. So anyway, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's an issue where we help agriculture in a dire need. And in this case, admittedly, it's not seed growers, but it's 20 employees in a business that we made a promise to. And just because Congress doesn't keep their promises, I see nothing wrong with keeping the promise for a credit. And I sat in this chair about my second term, and I remember how I felt about the ethanol subsidies. I said, when are we going to end it? But this is, we made a commitment, and they made an investment, and it is a tax credit. So, on and against the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, and I'm all with the concept, promises made, promises kept. But my understanding was clear that we had a not-to-exceed 15-year agreement in there. So that should have been, if I were the businessman, I'd know that was the deal. It was not to exceed. Things have changed since we first gave this help to an industry that I think has provided jobs and opportunity for products of our state to be value-added, all of the good things that we try to do in economic development. But I think to take this out as long as proposed in the amendment that we had yesterday, or the arguments that we had yesterday, is inappropriate. I would urge your defeat of this amendment and a third reading amendment coming back with a shorter term for them to adjust. I also don't think you want to pull the plug on something that is important to our state and our smaller communities, and provides an opportunity for sale of product and also in value added to that product. So there's a lot of things I like about it, but I think they need a little time to transition out, but not the full 15 years that was not to be exceeded. I would urge you to defeat this amendment and support this amendment and come back with a third reading amendment to shorten the term of the time that they have with the support.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. I hate subsidies, and you've heard me on this floor many times say we shouldn't pick winners and losers. But one of the things that makes this state attractive to business is when we make rules, we don't change them in midstream. You've also heard me talk about political risk, and that is that there are companies who want to do business in this state who factor in political risk just like they would factor in doing business in third world dictatorships. And sometimes in the United States, the political risk is higher because we change our rules in midstream. We just go, oh, well, things are different. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that makes this state attractive to business is that you can make long-term plans, that people know that we're going to abide by the promises. So we've got a compromise here that's been reached with industry. I hate the compromise, but I would rather have the compromise than break our promises and make this state subject to the whims of political will. We need to make sure that we continue to be an attractive area for business, and minimizing political risk does that.
Representative Varnish.
First time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief, I promise you. Yesterday I talked about the subsidy is almost $60,000 per employee. So I would allude to you that what we're doing is we're paying all the salaries and benefits for those employees. But there's a sheet that was passed out yesterday. It talked about their proposal. And in that they say they produce 8.75 million gallons per year. And they say their expenses are $27,179,000. If you calculate that out, it's costing them almost $3 a gallon to produce that ethanol. Now, I urge you to support this amendment, and I'll tell you why. We need to support our highways. Our highways are deteriorating. The highway department comes to us, the transportation, and say every time they have revenue producing something to increase their revenue, we kill it. And this comes out of their revenue, their tax revenue. And if we're going to fund it, we ought to do it out of general fund and not out of transportation dollars. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Blake, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Seems like against the amendment. I'm not a big fan of subsidies either. Seems like 2 years ago, March 2010, we passed something called the Code of the West. And it was a promise made. It was a promise kept. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time prior to the sponsor. All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 8, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate file 8 has failed. We're on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 8. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2. So let me essentially what this does, just to simplify it, presently it would expire now in 2021. What this would do is take it down to expiring 2018. And I'll walk you through sort of how I came up with that logic. If you look at the amendment on the second page of the amendment, and you come down to line 17, so that's the subsection E that we're dealing with, and what it says is, any ethanol producer qualifying for the tax credit under the subsection before July 1st, 2009. So meaning you already had a plant existing. It was already had been built prior to 09, which clearly this one is. And then the next part's the important part. It says, which expands its production after July 1st, 2003 and prior to July 1st, 2011 by at least 25%. So that what they had to do, you're already existing, operating, and then between those periods, 03 and 11, you had to expand by 25%, which they did. They did that. Now, they do that in 2006 is when they do it. So then it goes on and it says the subsection for a period not to exceed 15 years. And there was testimony yesterday from the chairman of Minerals who was here then that that was just a number. And it was a not to exceed number. It wasn't saying, I mean, if it was going to be exactly 15, it would have said for 15 years. But they put the not to exceed, meaning we don't want this thing to get out there too far. So what I did, instead of you going from the 2006 date, the date the expansion occurred, I go from 2003, when the first opportunity you would have had. So you count from 2003, that you count out 15, it gets you to 2018, rather than counting from 2006 getting to 2021. I still think that stays within the parameters of what we were saying, but lowers it down a few years. And that was my attempt at trying to find a way to bring this down a few years.
Chairman Simlek.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm somewhat conflicted here based on what we've brought to you with respect to compromise and conciliation on this issue. I guess somewhat resisting the continued the amendment, of, I guess partially because of, you know, we're continuing to compromise down to you know, to a point where it's considerably less than what we talked about in the existing statutes with the 40 cents for over a period of another 9 years. So you know, we're continuing to carve away at the commitment that we made. So pushing back and resisting this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers, first time.
Mr. Speaker, for my first time. For all the reasons in the First Amendment, I urge you to oppose this amendment, number two. And the other thing on the transportation fuels, it has a little impact in it, but it's a drop in the bucket for what the transportation department needs in the way of monies to do the work that they're doing on the highways and freeways in the state of Wyoming. So again, I urge you to vote no.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, we started down this road in the early 90s. So we've probably been on this road at least 15 years, maybe longer. And I think this becomes a reasonable compromise to the House's positions. It's and I thank the good bringer of the bill. I like his logic.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and against the amendment, just so that we're clear, the plant's expansion occurred in 2006. 15 years from 2006 is the language that we're operating under right now. The language that this amendment proposes cuts 3 years off of the commitment that was made. I think that's a violation of what we said we would do, and so I would urge you to vote no.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too encourage the body to defeat this amendment. I guess for all the same reasons. I mean, we have had this discussion over and over and over again, and I really actually can't remember in my time here in this body where we have discussed repealing or doing away with a credit slash subsidy for any other industry more than we have this one. Twice now this body has taken a firm stand on wanting to go with the standing committee amendment. Perhaps the statute was not well written, but it still says 15 years. It still says from the date that the production was, that the expansion was operational, which is 2006, and we're still at the 2021 date. And I just think we need to maintain our position that we have the last two votes and defeat this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of this motion, the good chairman of judiciary, I think, captured in essence what I was trying to say and did shorten it down. Farther we push out dates and have an expectation something will terminate or progress from that point, the more I just suspect of what will happen in those years out. There was a question, have we ever put in subsidies or helped people and withdrawn it? We've done it in the uranium industry. We heard about the storage industry that was an issue. We've done it, I think, also with bees. So we've done some of these things, but none of them with that long a period on them. This one's been in existence. I think there's a turn in the tide on the need for support for these sorts of things. I'd urge your support of the amendment.
First Times, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just a question, it's a little unclear. When was this promise made? Was this promise made in 03? Or was the promise made in 06 when they started the construction? If you could just clarify that, I appreciate it.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A subsidy that's been in there for perpetuity has been subsidies on stripper wells, and we never touched that. So that's one that I can think of that extended out there as far as we can think, and fuel prices are high. So that kind of settles that in my mind, and I guess I'd like to remind everybody that the industry agreed to take less than half as much through that extended period of time, 18 cents instead of 40 cents, and I think that's important. Thank you.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In my 4 years on revenue, my former chairman would always say that one legislature can't buy in the hands of another. He said, a promise is only a promise until you elect a new legislature. And in those 4 years, there were plenty of promises, I think, that we had broke because of one exemption or not extending a subsidy here or there. And you buy, being in these seats, are no way obligated by what that legislature did back in 2003 or 4 or any time before you ever were elected. So, I mean, if you had talked to somebody and you made a promise, then that's your word. But as a legislature as a whole, you're not obligated by that. So,
Representative Greer, first time.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I rise on up and support this amendment. I voted against the last amendment. There's some good arguments have been made. You know, one is a certainty in a business plan, what we rely upon, dealing with our political risk and managing that. And I hear this promise is made, but before you accept a promise and rely on it, you need to know what that promise says. And I think the good speaker pro tem has made a valid point. I just would like to emphasize once more. is that promise was not to exceed 15 years. And not having a history in this body, I have to look at that today and see that that language, not to exceed, was in there for a reason. And so I would encourage us to consider this one, and I support this amendment.
Representative Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I'd like to piggyback on a little bit of what the last two speakers and what the situation is. If it was the intent of that legislature to provide that subsidy, then they would have set aside a pool of money and said, here is your pool of money, and it is there for 15 years, and we're going to guarantee you that amount of money for those 15 years. What they did, though, they put in there not to exceed, because they know times change. And what they wanted was to put some subsidy money into an industry so that industry could take off and grow and get on its own two feet. I think what we have seen over the last few years is it's really tough. This bill came in front of Transportation Committee, and we heard testimony, and we asked them, what would happen if we took the subsidy away? And their testimony was that the company would fall apart. So we're basically providing all of the profit for that company to keep going. But as I hear people say a promise made, and I just can't agree. If it was a promise, that legislature would have taken that money, put it in a pool. When we promise our Hathaway kids that they're going to get a scholarship, we do that because we have the money in an account. So with that, I would vote for or ask that you do favorable consideration on this amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Okay, I think I can shed some light on this. I was there. I was on the conference committee. The not-to-exceed language for 15 was from the expansion. That's 2021. So in no case was a subsidy supposed to extend past 15 years. Not-to-exceed language, if there was some type of financial catastrophe, if we had to dig down deep and we were in dire financial straits, yeah, that leaves us an out, if you will. But today's condition does not dictate that we take away from that 2021 date. And the not to exceed 15 years was not to exceed 15 years because that subsidy had ended. And there was a lot of the same type of debate went on. And I was on the conference committee. And this was what we worked out so that it would finally end at a point in time, 2021. No, we didn't consider setting aside a pile of money for this because it was a promise or anything like that. We worked out our differences to give definite deadlines and end dates for the subsidy for both the state of Wyoming and the ethanol industry. That's all I can tell you. I was on the conference committee. That's what we worked out.
Anyone else for your first time? Second time. Anyone else for your second time? Second time before the sponsor? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Whip. I think the speaker sort of made some of my case for me is that the not to exceed gave them an out. It gave them the ability if something, I think he used financial, but if something happened, they could get out of it. So it wasn't definite in the statute. It didn't say it shall be 15. It said shall not exceed. So I think you're allowed to come down a little bit. And just to explain again where I got it from, July 1st, 2003 is when it goes into effect because they passed this in 03. 03 is when they say this is what's going to happen. So all I'm doing is counting from that date. I'm counting from the date that they initially passed this legislation. And just counting out 15 from there. Either way, I just was trying to clean it up a little bit. But either way, I'm not sure if 3 years really matters that much now that we've spent 20 minutes debating it. I'd urge you to vote aye.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 8, please say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
All those in favor, please stand. second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 8 has been adopted. We're on second reading number amendment number 3 to Senate File 8. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to withdraw number 3.
Second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 8 has been withdrawn. Second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 8. Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File number 8. And Mr. Speaker, I think all but the most rigid adherence to historical habits will get enthused behind this bill or this amendment. What this does, ladies and gentlemen, is insert in the previous amendment we just passed the underlined language you see on line 11 of my amendment. And essentially what it does is it makes the Department of Transportation whole with respect to this amendment. In other words, we kind of backfill what they have to pay out with the general fund money. And some of my basis for this is, based on what we do in other subsidy programs, other tax credit programs, other exemption programs in general, one way or another, they are always funded out of the general fund. And add to that the fact that YDOT is not historically been in the business of economic development efforts. To the extent that good roads produce, promote economic development, that's one thing. On the other hand, if you look at the Constitution, they talk about the Wyoming may impose a gas tax that should be only used for roads, and of course the intent was that at that time roads were to be paid for with a fuel tax, and that they didn't want the very thing that this subsidy, this tax credit, is doing to their budget. The other thing I need to point out here is if you go back to the original bill or the amendment associated or the original bill and the fiscal note, we're not really talking about YDOT itself. You look at that fiscal note and you've got cities, towns, and counties that are putting up their fair share of this tax credit by us mistakenly financing this tax credit out of fuel or YDOT funds. And everybody lives in a county, so everybody's got a part of this. Everybody has got your own roads and your own issues in your own county that have been shorted by the fact that we're paying for a economic development program out of YDOT revenues. It's a matter of history. Last year, when we were going through the budget, the interim budget, I and some other colleagues of mine in this body ran a budget amendment to pay YDOT or reimburse YDOT for the same amount of money that this tax credit program was costing them every year, and it did pass. We had a mirror amendment over in the Senate, and that one lost by one vote, and we would have had this established by now. Now, the only difference between what we've done now, the mechanism's exactly the same, but the only difference is with the Standing Committee amendment, the amount is not $3 million a year. It's $1.4 or $1.5 million. And all I'm suggesting here is at the end of each quarter, the department will certify to the state treasurer how much this subsidy or this tax credit cost YDOT, and they would be replenished from general funds to make them whole. Just a note in history, you know, you might say, well, how come it got backwards like this to start with? Well, back in the 90s, if you look at the fiscal condition of Wyoming, and if you're looking for some way to enact a subsidy program or a tax credit program, you had to look to where the money was. And back in the early 90s, there wasn't any money in the general fund to do that. So they looked for pools of money and said, well, there's a pool of money. If we just give up a little bit of road construction and road repairs, we can pay for this tax credit through YDOT's gasoline tax. And that's what it was back in those days. They didn't have a general fund appropriation in addition to the fuel tax back then. So I think, you know, this is a totally different amendment than the others we've been arguing about. I don't see it as being a contentious issue any more than it was a year ago. And all it does is say, look, we recognize that we've got just an issue when it comes to the appropriateness of funding sources for economic development programs. And I hope that you can support this. Thank you.
Chairman Childress, first time.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm a little confused by this amendment because it says redeemed. This is a tax credit that when the ethanol is sold, they just do not apply the taxes. While I admit that it is calculated to affect the bottom line, there's no money that changes hands with a tax credit like this. So I see no reason for a reimbursement from the general fund, and I don't understand how it can be redeemed if it's just a credit at the pump. On and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time, second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Madden.
Just to remark to the chairman, you know, it isn't a check that's written out to them. I admit that. But the economic consequences in their income statement is exactly the same thing as if a check had been written. And if we enact this amendment, it just simply says that they're not going to be fiscally disadvantaged by paying for this tax credit at 40 cents a gallon for ethanol. Thank you.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 8, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 8 has failed. All those in favor, stand. Second reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 8 has failed. Senate File 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Military Department Youth Challenge Program sunset date.
And Senate File 10 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 17.
Senate File 17, introduced by the Travel Committee and Ag Relating Game and Fish, Game and Fish Authority Revisions.
Senate File 17 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to public records.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 25. Ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday in Committee of the Whole, I raised some concerns about what kind of information would be withheld with the implementation of this legislation as opposed to what was available or what is available today. And when we look at the section of this bill that I'm amending, it deals with withholding information, or the body of that section of the bill deals with withholding information provided by a landowner in order to participate in a program of the state or any other agency, institution, or political subdivision. Found out that it really was not the intent of this legislation to withhold information regarding what these programs are providing and how this money is being spent. And, of course, we want to protect these property rights and information about these property rights. So, Mr. Speaker, I propose this amendment to insert on page 7 after line 5 in a new paragraph C, where we would allow the right of inspection of information and technical assistance that is directly related to projects funded by the state or agency, institution, or political subdivision. And Mr. Speaker, I would maintain that this would allow the transparency necessary so we could absolutely demonstrate the public benefit of the expenditure of these public dollars. And further, with the work I've done since Committee of the Whole yesterday, I would maintain that this is also a friendly amendment and does not take away from the intent of this addition to the changes in our Public Records Act. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 25, please say aye. Those opposed, no. All those in favor, stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 25 has been adopted. Senate File 25, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 30.
Senate File 30, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Retirement Highway Patrol Game and Fish Warden in retirement.
Senate File 30, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, introduced by the Management Audit Appropriations and Act relating to Administration of Government Department of Enterprise Technology Services.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 33 and ask for your favorable consideration. Yesterday, there was an amendment attached to the bill dealing with the enterprise technology that requires a list of any federal program being implemented by the department in whole or in part. And the reason that we think it is wise to remove this amendment is because what actually happens here is it mandates exactly what so many people were afraid of in this bill. So all state data travels over the backbone, that infrastructure that the OCIO operates. So every agency, literally every agency in state government, has some federal component, some place where the federal government likely touches that agency. The OCIO runs all the common services for all agencies. But what this amendment would do would require the OCIO to report on everything. He doesn't have passwords. He doesn't have access to those agency systems now. But with this amendment, he would be required to report on those things that he probably doesn't even know or have a reason to know exist. He doesn't want that job. He doesn't need that job. It's not part of this bill in any way. The management audit, the agencies, the OCIO, private industry, and the Senate all work to craft this so that that access to information is restricted, as it should be. This amendment defeats the intent of those efforts. Currently, there is no access to everyone's data. It isn't needed. It's not requested. To find out what this amendment would mandate, the OCIO would potentially violate HIPAA, FERPA, and their rules and regulations. One way to look at this is this: the backbone for all state data operated by the OCIO is like a highway, a technological informational highway. The OCIO runs the highway, but he doesn't look in the trucks. This amendment requires him to search every truck. This amendment does not prevent the state from creating some monstrous, omnipotent, all-invasive government systems. If we don't remove this amendment, it actually mandates that the CIO do exactly that. It forces the keys into his hands and cracks the vaults, a mandate he didn't want, the bill does not impose, in which I am confident that very few, if any, citizens really want. And so for those reasons, I would ask you to support this amendment and take the bill back to its well-thought-out, long-studied basis. Thank you.
For the first time, Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, that was certainly not the intent of the amendment that I brought. And I just am going back. What you've just heard is an interpretation from the folks downstairs. Certainly when I brought the amendment, my intention was not to do any of those things. And as I read the amendment again, I still am not certain that I see what has just been portrayed as happening, because it says specifically, the department shall report by November 1st of each year to the Joint Appropriations Committee a list of any federal programs being implemented by the department. That would be the OCI department. No other department. It says the department. I assumed, at my very small legal understanding and what I conveyed to our good staff when I asked for this to be written, was it to be narrowly defined to involve simply the department that we are creating. I'm going to defer to those who seem to be exquisitely smarter than I, and not trample on anyone downstairs who seems to be concerned, and say, you know, if you think that this amendment is as overreaching as it is being portrayed, then I guess you'll want to vote for this current amendment. But certainly my intentions were not thus. Had the bringer of this amendment asked me, she would have understood my intentions were not that at all. They were very narrowly defined. I had no intentions of doing that, and I thought I had done something fairly simple. So I guess what I would say, since this is on second reading, is we'll support this amendment and we'll speak more about this on third reading. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 33, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 33 has been adopted. Senate File 33, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, introduced by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to public funds, higher education reserve accounts.
Senate File 35, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 40.
Senate File 40, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to the judicial branch, judicial salaries.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 40. With all the talk that we've had about the public employees not getting any raises, this bill seems somewhat of a compromise, or this amendment. We were told for about 20 minutes why they're needed, and also, it's been mentioned to me that some of these salaries are high enough that they pay secretaries, their secretaries, higher than the private factor or private sector can get. And with all the negative backlash that we seem to be getting, got a pretty pointed email today about this. I thought I'd bring this and see if we could compromise a little bit. So if you'll look at this, I think it is a compromise, and for your consideration. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time, for a second time? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 40, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 40 has failed. Senate File 40, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47, introduced by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Senate File 47, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by Senator Cooper, an act relating to licensing for electrical installations.
And Senate File 62, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 84.
Senate File 84, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to County Commission special expertise.
Senate File 84, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 86.
Senate File 86, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to public health and safety regarding greenhouse gas air quality regulation.
Senate File 86, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Simlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege to the floor.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the North Gallery this morning, we have my wife, Sheila, and also we have a friend, a family friend who has enriched our lives immensely over the years, Ellen Searle. And I can tell you that she's also enriched the lives of many people here on the floor, in that a few years ago in her operation as owning a flower shop downtown, she provided, through her handiwork and craft, flowers in the back of our gallery. So welcome, Sheila and Ellen, to the house.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, sir. On your desk, you've just received a packet about the Wyoming Geographic Alliance, which is part of the National Geographic Education Foundation Alliance Network. The mission of the Wyoming Geographic Alliance is to motivate and enable each new generation of teachers and students to become geographically literate by providing teachers with quality training programs and instructional materials to enable them to provide students with a 21st century geographic education. The purpose of the packet is to keep Wyoming legislators informed about the progress and activities. The Wyoming Geographic Alliance receives no state funds, but has an endowment at the National Geographic Society, and there has recently been established an endowment at the University of Wyoming, where the WGA is housed in the Geography Department. I'd encourage you to read the brochure and fact sheet to learn more about the status of geography in Wyoming.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 57, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Bechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, signed Representative Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 18, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation they do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Muniz, Semlich, Zornitzer, Dan, signed representing Semlich, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 49, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Muniz, No, Camel, Davison, Semlich, Zornitzer, Dan, signed, Representative Semlich, Chairman.
Re-referrals?
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to re-refer Senate File 57 to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
It's been moved for re-referral of Senate File 57 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Seeing no objection, it is so ordered. Committee announcements. Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at noon recess in House 18. We're going to talk about Senate File 83, Cigarette Manufacturing, Senate File 82, ATM Fees, and if time permits, Senate File 48, Engrossed, Professional Engineers and Surveyors Practice Act.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. in room H10, where we will take up Senate File 79, Wildlife Trust Challenge Account Extension, Senate File 89, Engrossed, Pioneer Hunting Licenses, Senate File 43, Engrossed, State Parks Acquisition of Lands, and Senate File 71, Aquatic Invasive Species.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H18 to hear Senate File 75, Business Ready Community Program Planning, and Senate Joint Resolution 2, Riverton Uranium Mill Tailings Remedial Action.
Chairman Kornberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet today, 15 minutes after adjournment this afternoon, and we will consider Senate File 68, time limits for veteran and dependent tuition and fees, and then we will just have a short conversation, or long, whichever, regarding interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Friday morning, March 2nd at 8 a.m. in room H11 to consider the following bills. Senate File 77, Expenditure of Public Funds and Government Competition, and Senate File 95, Emergency Medical Services Special District.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before I make my announcement on re-referred bills. Ladies and gentlemen in committees, if you have other bills that have an appropriation and it needs to be re-referred to me, I believe it has to be out tomorrow and it has to get out of committee of the whole. And it has to get out of my committee. And I have several bills that I'm going to do here starting at 12:15 for re-referred. If I get more this afternoon, I didn't want to push my committee, but I can have them come back upon adjournment. Then tomorrow morning I have 7 bills up that were directly sent to us starting at 7:30. So I don't know where that would put any other bills. So just keep that in mind as you're planning the day. If you get something done in committee and you need to get it re-referred, then we need to do it today. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will take the education bills, some health bills, and some travel and rec bills at 12:15 today.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee Number 1 will meet tomorrow, Friday, March 2nd at 8 o'clock a.m. to continue its work on Senate File 81 engrossed Medicaid fraud recovery.
And your Committee Number 12, Rules, will meet upon adjournment today, Thursday, March 1st, in Room 302 to consider Senate File 38, Revisers Bill. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You'll find a revised general file list adding Senate Files 19, 12, 14, 36, 55, 97, 42. It adds 58, but that's been re-referred in Senate File 52.
Hold on 1 second before you make your motion. Representative Escobel.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just was going to remind the body of Qdoba Mexican Grill lunch in Hirschler Building Room 1699.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And 52 to the general file. My optimistic hope is that to get to finish up to and including Senate File 42 this afternoon, there's 34 bills still in committee that will come out to the floor after today. We have 2 more days of general file. I'd like to get through as many of those as we could. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House stand in recess until 1:30 p.m.